कृष्ण गोप गौर श्याम कनुरार करि गिरि गोवर्धन की जय। श्री वृंदावन राम की जय। नवरत्न की जय। गंग जमुन तुलसी भक्त देवी की जय। रानी परि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय। गोप नंदी All glories to some of the glories, all glories to some of the glories, all glories to some of the glories, all glories to Shukra and Shukra, all glories to Shri Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Prasadane, Nirvishesha Sundarari Pashtapadesha Tarane, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Vedi Gadadhara Krishna Prabhati Vinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Sri Vishnu Bhava Galaxy, chapter 12, verse 1, Sri Rishi Ruvacha, Evam Chahasur Nipta Dehamajo, Mrityam varam vijayan munyamana Shulam pagrahya vipatat surendram Yata mahapurusha mukaita apsu Sukadeva Goswami said, Evam, thus, Jahasu, eager to give up, Nirpa, O King Parikshit, Deham, body, Ajau, in battle, Mrityum, death, Varam, better, Jayat, then victory, Manyamana, thinking, Sulam, trident, Pagriha, taking up, Abhyapatat, attacked, Surendram, King of Heaven, Yata, just as Mahapurusham, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Kaitabha, the demon Kaitabha, Kapsu, when the whole universe was inundated. Translation: Sukadeva Goswami said, desiring to give up his body, which Asura considered death in the battle, preferable to victory. O King Parikshit, he vigorously took up his trident and the great force attacked Lord Indra, the King of Heaven. This says, Kaitabha had forcefully attacked the Supreme Personality of Godhead when the universe was inundated. Wherefore, although Vritrasura repeatedly encouraged Indra to kill him with the thunderbolt, King Indra was morose at having to kill such a great devotee and was hesitant to throw it. Vritrasura, disappointed that King Indra was reluctant despite his encouragement, took the initiative very forcefully by throwing his trident at Indra. Vritrasura was not at all interested in victory. He was interested in being killed so he could immediately return home back to Godhead, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Chapter Deham Punar Janma 19. After giving up his body, a devotee immediately returns to Lord Krishna, never returns to accept another body. This was Vritrasura's interest. And then Vritrasura, the great hero of the demons, whirled his trident, which had points like the flames of the blazing fire at the end of the millennium. With great force and anger, he threw it at Indra, roaring and exclaiming loudly, O sinful one, thus shall I kill you. Flying in the sky, Vritrasura's trident resembled a brilliant meteor. Although the blazing weapon was difficult to look at, King Indra, unafraid, cut it to pieces with his thunderbolt, simultaneously cut off one of Vritrasura's arms, which was as thick as the body of Vasuki, the king of the serpents. Although one of his arms was severed from his body, Vritrasura angrily approached King Indra and struck him on the jaw with an iron mace. He also struck the elephant that carried Indra. Thus Indra dropped the thunderbolt from his hand. The denizens of various planets, like the demigods, demons, charanas, and siddhas, praised Vritrasura's deeds. But when they observed that Indra was in great danger, they lamented, alas, alas. Having dropped the thunderbolt from his hand in the presence of his enemy, Indra was practically defeated and was very much ashamed. He dared not pick up his weapon again. Vritrasura encouraged him, saying, take up your thunderbolt and kill your enemy. This is not the time to lament your fate. Vritrasura continued, O Indra, no one is guaranteed of being always victorious, but the original enjoyer, the Supreme Personality, Bhagavan. He is the cause of creation, ranks, and annihilation. He knows everything. Being dependent and being obliged to accept material bodies, belligerent subordinates are sometimes victorious and sometimes defeated. Report, the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Sarasachaham, Hridi Sandavistoma Tasmita Gyanama Popanam Cha. I am seated, everyone's starting from me, come, remembers, and all is forgetfulness. When two parties fight, the fighting actually goes on under the direction of the Supreme Personality of God, who is Paramatma, the Super Soul. And elsewhere in the Gita, the Lord says, the bewildered spirit soul, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, thinks himself the doer of activity as an actuality carried out by nature. The living entities work only under the direction of the Supreme Lord. The Lord gives orders to material nature, and she arranges facilities for the living entities. The living entities are not independent, although they foolishly think themselves the doers. Victory is always with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As for the subordinate living entities, they fight under the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Victory or defeat is not actually theirs. It is arranged by the Lord through the agency of material nature. Pride and victory, or moroseness and defeat is useless. One should fully depend on the Supreme Personality of God, who is responsible for the victory and defeat of all living entities. The Lord advises, Niyatam Kuru Karma Tvam Karma Jayatya Karma Naha, perform the prescribed duty for actions rather than inaction. The living entity is ordered to act according to his position. Victory or defeat depends on the Supreme Lord. Karma Nevi Karas Tevam Phalesu Kadashana. You have a right to perform the prescribed duty, but you're not entitled to the fruits of actions. One must act sincerely according to his position. Victory or defeat depends on the Lord. Vritrasura encouraged him, just saying, don't be morose because of my victory. There's no need to stop fighting. Instead, you should go on with your duty. When Krishna desires, you will certainly be victorious. This verse is very instructive for the sincere workers in the Krishna consciousness movement. We should not be jubilant in victory or morose in defeat. We should make a sincere effort to implement the will of Krishna or Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and we should not be concerned with victory and defeat. Our only duty is to work sincerely so our activities may be recognized by Krishna. So this is a further description of the battle already. Fighting has gone on, and then in the middle, Richasura began to speak. And now, here again, the fight continues, and Richasura encourages Indra to fight. Unfortunately, Indra is a little hesitant, so therefore Richasura throws his trident at Indra, and then attacks him with the mace, etc. And Indra's thunderbolt falls from his hand, and the devotees become worried. However, then Richasura again begins to speak to encourage Indra. So in this section we see that actually, though Richasura is the demon, he actually does all the preaching, and Indra, who is the devotee, actually is very silent in this whole affair. So Richasura actually is encouraging Indra, something like Krishna encourages Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna was discouraged in battle, and not because he was defeated or anything, but simply because he was not eager to kill his relatives. And then Krishna advise him that he should do his duty and not be attached to the body, etc. So, in this case, Indra is not so eager to fight, not because of so much the relatives or anything, but there's two reasons. One, of course, is he was defeated because his thunderbolt was fell from his hand. And, of course, then Richasura is a great devotee. So, in order to encourage Indra, then Richasura has to encourage him to fight against him, which is a little bit different from Krishna encouraging Arjuna to fight against the enemy. Here, Richasura is encouraging Indra to fight against him, which shows his great detachment from his material body. He doesn't actually want that material body, and he's encouraging Indra to kill him. So he has to use similar tactics that Krishna used with Arjuna, and therefore he begins a philosophical analysis about victory and defeat. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna also says one should not be attached to victory or defeat, etc. And therefore, don't consider the outcome of the battle, don't be attached to the results, but fight because of duty, because it is enjoined you should fight. So this is an appeal to karma yoga. The other argument he gives, of course, is you're not the body, so don't lament for your body or other people's bodies if you kill them, because nobody is the body. This is an argument from Jnana. So he uses both types of arguments to persuade Arjuna to fight. So here we have Richasura giving an argument of Supreme Lord is in control of everything, so don't think that you are the victor or you are the defeated one. Everybody is simply under the control of the Supreme Lord. So you do your duty and you fight to the best of your ability without expectation of results. Sometimes we're defeated, sometimes we're victorious, so we shouldn't be attached to that result. So this is somewhat an appeal to on the level of Jnana, that ultimately everything is under the Lord, we should be detached from the material results. And it's also somewhat an appeal to karma yoga, that you must do your duty in spite of the problems or whatever that arise within that duty, execute your duty and fight. Now, of course, Indra was encouraged by the Supreme Lord also. The Supreme Lord produced his weapon so he could fight, and the
defeated the storm. It's his duty to fight. The complication here, of course, is that one, the Lord wants Indra to fight, so that's a type of bhakti also, to follow the will of the Lord. On the other hand, we have Mitrasura, who is also a great devotee of the Lord on the other side, and then he has to kill him. And so, what to do? So there is a little bit of a confusion here. Similarly, we find in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is a devotee of the Lord and he wants to fight for Krishna. At the same time, on the opposite side, we have devotees like Bhishma, a very great devotee. So then he doesn't want to kill him. So that's a similarity in the situation. But here we find that Vritrasura is encouraging Indra to fight against him. Whereas in the battle of Kurukshetra, we find Krishna is encouraging Arjuna to fight against Bhishma and the others. So we find here the demon is the encourager and giving the philosophical advice. So though he is in the role of a demon, he actually is a devotee, and therefore his arguments are also done. He makes arguments which are quite appropriate to the situation, and they do not contain anything which is against Siddhanta. But, like Krishna, he uses those arguments to persuade Arjuna to fight. Krishna uses arguments about duty, etc. But these, of course, are not ultimate arguments. Simply fight without expectation of victory or whatever. These are material arguments. You go to Svarga Loka, etc. So these are material things which the devotee is not interested in. So here, Vritrasura also argues about victory and defeat, etc. Don't be interested in that. Using the philosophical argument that the Lord controls everything, and therefore it's not up to us to expect results. The Lord knows the plan, so therefore we should follow His plan. So this is a good argument in the absolute sense from the point of view of bhakti. We do not know the plan of the Lord. We simply accept the situation and we try to perform bhakti. So, in that sense, his argument is very good from not only karma and jnana point of view, but from the point of view of bhakti. So Indra should follow the order of the Supreme Lord and execute, try to please the Supreme Lord by using this thunderbolt nicely. And whatever the situation is, now don't be attached to that situation. We do not know what is the will of the Supreme Lord. So this, of course, is good advice even for the devotees. We cannot determine the results of our activities, so we cannot be too attached to them. At the same time, we execute them to try to please the Supreme Lord. And whatever result comes, that comes. So, at the same time, we try our best to please the Supreme Lord by our activities. And sometimes we are successful, sometimes we're failure, whatever. But we don't know what is the ultimate will of the Supreme Lord. But we put forth our best effort, and if we're successful, fine, then that is pleasing to the Lord. If it fails in spite of our best effort, then we are very patient. And we think maybe the Lord has another plan, maybe we can do something else. But nevertheless, we do not give up the service to the Supreme Lord. So we keep trying somehow or other to please Him. So that is the proper attitude of the devotee of the Lord, that he admits that he does not understand the plan of the Lord, and therefore, even though he can expect certain results, he should not be disappointed if he doesn't get them immediately. Rather, he still serves the Supreme Lord with whatever capacity he can. And finally, the Lord makes arrangements by which everything becomes perfect. So that is the attitude of the devotee of the Lord. So though the Lord does, in an absolute sense, control everything, we should not think that therefore nobody decides anything, nobody has any free will. That is also there. So though the Lord may determine the outcome of certain events. It is not that he is involved in all events. So we don't put forth an endeavor, we don't expect to get a good result. If we put forth effort, we'll get a better result. But the Lord operates through karma, and therefore that result may be limited by karma. But if we don't put any result of effort at all, nothing happens. It's not karma that's affecting us, it's our laziness. That's all. So that's where our free will comes into the picture. So not everything is simply under the Supreme Lord operating through the law of karma. There is the will of the jiva also involved. If everything was under the will of the Supreme Lord, and we have no ability to do anything, then the scriptural injunctions would be useless. The scripture says, do this, do this, do this. Well, I can't do it. But it's not the will of the Lord. I won't do it. We can say. But we can choose. I will follow, I will not follow. But we can say, no, I can't follow because it's not the will of the Lord. Therefore, don't do anything. So if the jivas have no free will of their own, what use are the orders of the Lord, the instructions of the Lord to do something in the scriptures? Nothing. So orders are given, and the jivas, the human beings, they can choose to follow or not follow. So therefore there is some free will in the jiva. We can't say, well, the Lord wills that we not follow it. We do have free will to follow or not follow the instructions of scripture. So there is some capacity for free will. At the same time, we cannot do anything we want. We are limited by karmas. So karmas will limit how much money you can get or whatever, or what type of job you can get. That type of limitation is there. But there's no limitation in the sense of choosing surrender to the Lord or not surrender, or choosing to get out of the material world or stay in the material. There's no limit on that. If we choose the path of bhakti, that is not limited by karma. In fact, bhakti destroys karma. So, therefore the laws of karma do operate and limit our free will, but not in the realm of bhakti. Rather, the opposite happens. And we get more choices as a result of bhakti than less choice. Therefore, the rule about the Lord's in complete control of everything is applicable to the material world generally through the law of karma. For the living entity, for the human beings. So he doesn't operate directly, but through the law of karma. That's how things go on. And, of course, for devotees, yes, the Lord's also in control, ultimately. But he responds to the devotee's efforts. So it's not that we only expect mercy from the Lord. We have to do something to get the mercy of the Lord. So that's where our free will lies. We choose how to serve the Lord, how much to serve the Lord, etc. That is our effort. The Lord responds to that. So ultimately, yes, he is control, but he operates his control in relation to the efforts of the jiva. So therefore, the devotee has to make concert efforts to please the Lord. Well, karma is before the creation of the material world, there was another material world, and the jivas were there, and they had their karmas. And before that, there was another material world, and the jivas had their karma. So it is anadi karma. Before and before and before, there was another world with more karma.
Maharaj ki jo in vidhi se bhakti ka sanskar prabhu paad ki ta go pramana de. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. What do you think that minutes?
Krishna,
Krishna. Oh my God, I got it back again.